Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Bloom from NBC Sports Chicago. Mike Side with 2013 Stanley Cup champion Jamal Mayers after the Blackhawks fall to the Montreal Canadiens. A 2-0, so the shutout streak comes to an end for Corey Crawford. The 2-game win streak, they still haven't won 3 in a row this year, Jammer. Do you know the identity of this team as we look at it right now?
Well, that's the real question. You think about it in years past, and this is a copycat league, as you know, Pat, and the real differences and changes that they made were built for the playoffs. You think about what this team did last year in the playoffs and losing to the Nashville Predators. They got pushed around a little bit. They really didn't have a fourth line that could play with that physical mindset, and they have that now. But as a whole, the real question is, who are they? Do they possess the puck like they used to? Do they generate offense like they used to, which looked like it was easy? It looks hard for this team to create offense right now. They've got to figure it out and in a hurry. I think it's going to be more of a workmanlike effort. I think the coaching staff's job, in my opinion, is to convince them that they're not that team that they were 2 or 3 years ago, that they're a team that's going to have to work for every inch and fight and claw, and that will set them up, because this is a marathon. That will set them up to be a better playoff team, but they're going to have to realize it. They're going to have to believe that that's who they are for them to take that next step.
Okay, so talk me through this here. We all agree puck possession has been the identity with highly skilled players, Hall of Famers mixed in, right? Oh, from the 2010 Cup to, let's just say last year or the last Cup in 2015. If I'm reading you now, this team took away some skills, some east-west guys, and tried to add a little more north-south. So that may explain why the puck possession is not where it was. But if that's what you're going to do, if you're going to be a north-south team, crashing the net, paying the price, getting the loose pucks, winning battles, getting second and third opportunities, then you better be that, right? And we're not seeing that enough on a nightly basis.
You're not seeing it on a nightly basis, and you got to have guys lead the way. You've got to have guys that have to do it every single night. And I think Ryan Hartman's a guy who, for me, can really step up into that role. I think, maybe he gets moved up a little bit and has a chance to play with some skilled guys because he has that ability to finish. With all due respect to what John Hayden has done and how well he's played to start the season, I feel like that's an opportunity for Hartman, a guy who's already scored 19 goals last year, had a good start to the season, got pushed back down to the fourth line. But for them to take that next step, I think he has to move up in the lineup. And then you've got to have more from Saad. He can't play on the perimeter. He's not a one-time kind of guy. He's a guy who gets his goals and his cookies by going to the net, driving the net, being hard to play against, and maybe pucks bounce in front of him, and he's there with that skill that he has as well to really finish those plays. And the captain, he gets there on a nightly basis. Anisimov needs to do it more. There's other guys that can get there as well. You've got to find a way to get other guys engaged. And that includes the Lance Bowmans of the world. He's got to be a guy as well on the fourth line to get to the front of the net and be more disruptive.
Yeah, I'm with you on Hartman moving up. There was a play in this game against Montreal where he was hard on the puck in the corner. Like, he was getting pushed by the defender, but he stayed on the puck. And let's be honest, a lot of the younger wingers for the Hawks would probably have coughed it up in that area. I do think Ryan deserves, a better offensive opportunity not playing on the fourth line. Although, the fourth line has been something we've tended to talk about a lot this year.
Which, give credit to the fourth line, but no offense, that the fact that we're talking about them for 4 or 5 games on the show and before the show is not a good thing for the team. It's nice to talk to them about them every third or fourth game, but they shouldn't be the highlight. They shouldn't be the measuring stick. The team is going to go as Jonathan Toews goes all the way down. And the way that they work and the way that he works and the way that he plays the game, yes, you want your fourth line. Sometimes you may even have to shorten the bench and find a way to get everybody and get that offense going. But I think what's really affecting them is the back end and the unpredictability, what's happening there. That hasn't necessarily been stabilized so far this year, and I think that's hurting them in the offensive zone.
More on the defense coming up in just a second. You mentioned Brandon Saad. I think it's 7 or 8 games now that he's gone without a goal.
I think it's 9
now. 9 now, and he got off to that, you know, tremendous start, and those goals, every one of them was going to the net. In fact, there were times where, you know, Panic would, or Taves would almost, it was a shot pass, and just because he's driving to the net, it would go off his knee and in. And hey, that's why he's back here with the Hawks. But I have not seen that from him. Is that something the defense is taking away? Is it more mindset? Can you put your finger how we can see, you know, players that display what we're talking about, what the team wants and needs, but then they go these long stretches where you don't see it?
He's still a young player, and I know it's hard to believe.
24,
And he's still finding his way, and that consistency, I think, can be fixed, in my opinion, if he plays a more linear path and uses that net as a magnet. You know, one of my favorite teammates, Scott Mellenby, always used to tell me that go to the front of the net, and you can always go to the corner, but come back to the front of the net. Use that net as a magnet. Get to the blue paint. Create opportunities. There were several opportunities I felt like Sauter could have drove the middle. At the very least, he's pushing defensemen back and giving more time for Patrick Kane. Don't worry about making plays. They'll happen organically just because you're a skilled player and you can make it happen. Use that net as a magnet. Get to the front of the net. He can shoot by you, and then next thing you know, you're going to be in front of the net with an opportunity. I want to see him play on the inside a lot more.
We asked a question on the pregame show before the Montreal game whether or not the Hawks were relying too much on Corey. And I said, you know, this to me looks a lot like what we saw last year, where the first quarter to third of the season, we'd walk out of here with talking about 2 points that the Hawks achieved on that night, but going, man, they were outplayed for 2 of the 3 periods. And it was Corey who was ultimately the reason why. At times this year, I mean, again, they're 7-6-2 through the 15 games. I'd say of those 7 victories, you know, a good 5 of them have been because of the goalie.
And you know, Steve made a good point that he's part of the team, but that's not something you can rest your laurels on for an entire season. Obviously, he's one of the best goaltenders in the league, and he's getting a lot more credit, I think, this year from us because it's so much more obvious. They're a little bit more porous defensively. You're not playing with the layers that they used to be, having a lot more odd man rushes against. Corey Crawford's been unbelievable. They cannot continue to depend on him like they have. They have to get better in front of him. They have to manage the puck better. They have to give up possession. And they got to put their hard hat on and get back to work.
And they have to do that on the power play as well. There was they were 0-for-3 against Montreal. I thought the biggest turning point in the game, Drouin scores to make it 1-0. Hawks go on their 3rd power play, an opportunity to get the equalizer, or at worst case scenario, at least generate some momentum for your 5-on-5. They did none of that. In fact, it was Montreal going the other way with a mini break, and I think Dunks ended up having to take the penalty, nullifying or trying to nullify a scoring opportunity for Montreal. The power play has been a problem all season long, Jammer. What do you see? What needs to change?
Well, I think you just have to have predictability. And I talk about this because as a penalty killer, it's so much more difficult to defend if you guys have if the power play shoots the puck first. So I'd like to see shots off of 1 faceoff, which they rarely do win the faceoff. They need to win the faceoff. Battle for that puck. When they do get it, I'd like to see a shot on the goal within the first 5 or 6 seconds. And the reason why I'm saying that is now as a penalty killer, I'm thinking, oh, wow, they're going to shoot the puck. I've got to be cognizant of that. I got to be aware of that. The next thing is be a little bit more predictable. If it's Patrick Kane on the half wall, meaning at the hash marks with the puck, maybe it's a give and go to the net. They run that play. Maybe they run it again, and then Taser rolls out and gives it to Siebes for a one-timer. Create 3 or 4 plays that are predictable, and then your skill can take over because you can't tell where the puck's going to go when it's a rebound. Then they have the skill in front to create a backdoor play, what have you. I'd like to see that predictability. You haven't seen it. Sometimes you've seen guys almost like seems like they're on their own page. No one else is on the same page of what they're doing, and I couldn't figure out what they were trying to accomplish. Sometimes Kaner's on the right side, sometimes he's on the left. I'd like to see some predictability, Pat.
Quickly, before we jettison you, defensively, you know, that's been a big question mark all season since, you know, Hjalmarsson and TVR and Campbell hung him up. I think we all agree that Cody Franson has been a nice injection into the lineup. He and Keith seem like they have, you know, look, Franson's not going to win any foot races for you, but you know, his knowledge, his shot making, his passing, they help even out the deficiencies that he may have. Ruta and Seabrook, still a bit of a work in progress there, but I got to talk about Connor Murphy on the ice for both Montreal goals on Sunday night, and you know, there's been a reason why he's been a healthy scratch at times.
You know, and it's been a tough adjustment for him. I think obviously he's a physical guy. He's a guy who likes to lead, you know, be physical in the defensive zone and maybe in the neutral zone. And a lot of times taking a linear path, taking a straight path in the neutral zone to hit people is a disadvantage. And I think sometimes his play recognition hasn't been quite where it is, and he's not strong enough on the puck. You combine those two things when you're not recognizing the play well enough when there's a rush and you pinch, or you lose a puck battle into the corner that creates another opportunity for a goal. He's got to find a way to make things happen. And a lot of times, I think for physical defensemen, it's an adjustment in Joel's system. He just wants you to separate man from puck. He wants you to get stick on puck, get pucks up to the forwards, and move on. It's not about the big hits. It's not about any of that. You've got to find a way to be efficient. You've got to find a way to put the pucks in the neutral zone when you're in trouble. You've got to find a way to manage that puck and make good decisions.
Jammer, great stuff as always. We'll catch you down the road.
Appreciate it.
That is Jamal Mayers. Up next, we'll hear from Tracy Myers on the Hawks Talk podcast.
For Chicago's sports talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, I'm Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago, joined by Tracy Myers from NBCSportsChicago.com. How you doing, Trey?
I'm doing all right.
Doing better than the Hawks 5-on-5 scoring or power play for that matter. Let's just start with the reaction following, you know, the loss to Montreal. What was your biggest takeaway from what Joel Quenneville had to say?
Well, just he sounds as surprised, confused, frustrated, befuddled as anybody else right now in terms of this offense, or lack thereof, I think is probably the better way of putting it. Where is it? We've talked how many years now about 5-on-5 production. It is the main reason why this team has rarely worried about the power play too much,
right?
Because the 5-on-5 goals
it's
have
been there.
Yeah, and he was asked tonight, you know, is this becoming a concern? Is this becoming a worry? And he goes, "We're starting to think about it." That's a statement. This team has rarely had to think about that. You know, how much are they thinking about it on the ice? How much is it affecting, you know, every decision they're making? You know, there are times out there where it just looks like a confused mass. There were some very good chances tonight. Jonathan Toews just got, a little snake bit tonight.
He was jumping on Sunday night. I think he ended up with 3 shots on goal. But, boy, that opportunity that he and Saad had on the doorstep in the final minute kind of was, you know, basically a microcosm of the game. You're close but not able to put it in. I'm with you on the lost part. Like, we talked about it with Jammer at the start of the podcast, how – you know, this team has gone from a puck possession team to trying to become a little more north and south and maybe giving up those east-west players like a Panarin and adding somebody like a Brandon Saad who is going to go hard to the net and is going to, you know, attack the tough areas and have people like that because they think that's what translated playoff hockey. And I get that. I think I understand that logic. The problem is, if you say you're going to become that type of team, and we saw it for only a handful of games, you know, you made the point right before we started to go on, you know, you look at this 3-game window here, 2 of which were shutouts, they had really 1 5-on-5 goal, and that was Toews.
Yeah.
We had 2 empty netters and a couple power plays. Yeah. You know, that you can't live, you can't succeed with that kind of production.
They've just been scratching by.
And relying too much on Crow.
Yeah, and I think I wrote a sentence, I hope I kept it in the story because it was right. You know, it's at this point, or, you know, at least in the last couple of games, it's either Crawford shutout or bust.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what's going on here. And, you talk about their game against the Canadiens. The opportunities were there. especially early on, and Lindgren was great.
Yeah.
You know, outstanding. Fourth game.
Fourth ever. NHL start.
First shutout. So, you know, kudos to him. But the opportunities were there. How many pucks, especially early on, when he was kind of getting his bearing and everything, there were a lot of rebounds that were just kind of lying there. And there were no Blackhawks around it, or it was just out of their reach. Is that Montreal keeping them away, or is it the Blackhawks not getting into those areas? Because that's been an issue. So, you know, that I think is probably the most frustrating thing, is that you're used to them pouncing on these opportunities, and you're just not seeing it right now. Just too much perimeter. The word perimeter has come up a lot lately.
Yeah, and it was the problem in the Nashville series. Not enough guys playing inside the dots. You know, you look at the forwards, mm-hmm. and it's basically been the same group. Other than Tanner Carroll being a healthy scratch here in recent games, the group that they've been going with is really, they just have shuffled the deck, so to speak, and we've talked a lot and probably too much about the fourth line success. If you're talking so much about the fourth line, it's because you're not getting production from your top three.
Yeah.
You wonder now what they're going to do. What is next? Because they've tried to bring it with Taves and Panic. They dropped Saad to Kane. That hasn't seemed to help. And, you know, other than Anisimov with those power play tallies, the third line hasn't given you much. So the question is, are the answers currently on the roster, or does Stan and the team need to go to Rockford to inject something?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on where they might go for some answers?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, where do you go? What do you do? You know, you keep looking at this roster and you think, my God, they shouldn't be having the problems that they are. Look at these proven over and over again goal scorers. Why is this all of a sudden becoming such an issue? You know, how much of a shakeup do you want to do? You know, I would start with Rockford first. You've got some guys who are doing very well down there, and we talked about it before. Might have to work some things around. There's a guy or two that you could send down, you know, I don't know, maybe when Forsling comes back, although, you know, he's been playing well before he got hurt, but I think you have to look at a couple different things right now, because you can talk about October, the start, and say, okay, well, it's just October, things happen, you know, if it takes you a little bit, but you can't let this keep going for too long, because you're either losing ground or you're not gaining as much as you should, and so you definitely have to do. We're getting to the point where you have to do something. I'm not ready to, you know, in case of emergency, break massive glass, but something needs to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're already seeing other teams. You know, Colorado finally traded Matt Duchene, and you know, Kyle Turris is now in Nashville. I mean, some teams that are, you know, within the division are already looking to the future and trying to figure out, you know, in Nashville's case, how they can get back to the Stanley Cup final. You had a conversation with Cody Franson, mm-hmm. who I think we all agree that has been a pleasant surprise here in recent games. Mm-hmm. What was your biggest takeaway? We're going to hear that conversation, but what was your biggest takeaway from your chat with Cody?
Well, right now it's him getting back in, you know, on a regular basis. And, you know, part of that was, you know, Forsling injury and everything, but it was also, you know, this is why he got this guy in the first place, is he's shown when he's been in there, he's been very good, especially with helping the power play at least get some possession time, you know, getting something there. And, you know, the statement that kind of stuck with me is, you know, he said, I'm there and I'm playing with Duncan Keith and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to play with him for the rest of the season. Because even a veteran like him can take so much from Keith. And he said when Quenneville first told him that was going to be the match, you know, had a big smile on his face. So, you know, he understands why he's here and he played the patient game and everything. But, you know, he's a good presence to have back there, and he's been very steady. You know, that's been a tough word for the Blackhawks in this early going. So I think any injection of that you can get, I think you want to keep it in the lineup as much as you can.
You know, one guy we haven't talked about a lot this year is Marian Hossa. How much – look, he's 39. I realize that, and I know that he's probably played his last game in the NHL. Almost certainly he has.
Yeah.
Dealing with, you know, the skin condition and the medication that he's dealing with to treat it. But I'm just talking about, because, like, last year, you know, he didn't play always like a 38, 39.
No.
How much do you think they miss him?
Oh, a lot. Even, let's take away the goals last year, okay? The year before, when he wasn't getting the goals and everything, the defense was still there.
Yep.
You know, so just getting that defense, just having that extra guy out there, one for the defense. And not only that, goals or no goals, he was Marian Hossa. You had to account for him. if you were on the other team. So, you know, whether he was in a slump, whether he was on a roll like he was last year, you looked at him, you feared him, and you had to guard against him like he could break out at any time. So there's absolutely no doubt, as far as I'm concerned, that they miss him on both sides of the puck because, you know, and they could also use that voice in the locker room, too, as another guy to say, okay, come on, you know, we've been here before, we've had slumps and everything. Let's just kind of get it together. So, yeah, they miss him in every way as far as I'm concerned.
Tracy, great stuff as always. You can catch your work at NBCSportsChicago.com. Thank you for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast. We'll catch you next time.